Hi, I'm Siobhan Fletcher, one of the journalists up at Manx Radio. Welcome to the latest instalment of our newscast. This time we're looking at the latest reports from the Care Quality Commission, which have been published alongside a programme overview report and an action plan from Manx Care. The four final baseline reports looked at acute and community services, the Manx Emergency Doctor Service, or MEDS, the Manx Care Leadership and Governance, or Well-Led Report, and Integrated Mental Health Services. So let's get into it. The CQC was commissioned by the Department of Health and Social Care to review Manx Care's services using its standard criteria, assessing whether the service is safe, effective, responsive, caring and well-led. All services reviewed this time were deemed caring, and some areas met all five standards. A number of areas of notable practice were identified during the inspections, and Manx Care staff were said to show a genuine caring approach to patients, treating people with compassion and kindness. However, some aspects of care have been escalated to the Department of Health and Social Care. Rhianne Evans joins me now to look at some of them. So, Rhianne, in the acute and community services, what issues were highlighted by the CQC?
There were significant shortages of staff across all services inspected, particularly within the emergency department, maternity and neonatal services. Medicines were not always stored securely or appropriately, and out-of-date medicines and equipment was not always identified or replaced promptly. This included resuscitation equipment and trolleys.
Another area inspected was the Manx Emergency Doctors Service, or MEDS. What has been escalated there?
Staff reported challenges regarding the availability of Section 12 approved doctors out of hours.
And in integrated mental health services?
Several concerns around medicines were found, including the safe storage and appropriate use of medicines. There was a risk of staff working outside of their scope of practice and a lack of oversight of prescriptions, including the process for storage and retrieval, which meant that it was not always possible for prescribers to have full understanding of what a patient had already been prescribed, so patients could potentially receive their medicines both from the Five Service and their GP.
So, where does Manx Care go from here? Health Minister Laurie Hooper says if Manx Care tackles its staffing problems, that will go a long way towards solving some of these issues.
So I think the thing for me is these reports are about baselining, finding out where we are currently, and I think they tell us largely things we already know. So, for example, one of the largest areas that CQC have identified we have an issue with is staff vacancies. We know we need to recruit staff in particularly key areas like maternity or the emergency department, for example, but we also know Manx Care are working really hard to try and resolve that problem. It's quite a difficult one to shift because it takes a long time to train people, and also recruitment is quite intense out there in the international market, but I mean, there are things we can do, and there's a lot of work going on to resolve that. That's probably the biggest challenge. I think the most positive aspect of the reports for me, though, is even where the CQC have identified there are challenges, their view is things are improving. And actually, the view from staff on the ground that's reported to the CQC is things are improving. And so there's a lot of work in there around culture, for example. So overwhelmingly, the culture that's been identified by the CQC is one of positive, engaging culture where staff feel value, where staff feel they can report concerns in a safe environment. We also know that isn't the case everywhere. There are pockets where there are staff that don't feel that to be the case. But even there, the CQC are identifying that staff generally feel that's getting better. And so for me, that feeling of improvement, that there's this willingness to improve, this desire to improve, and of course the ability to improve, that I think is the most reassuring part of this report for me.
Do you think a lot of the main issues that are highlighted in it come down to that recruitment process, that understaffing level? There's things in here like out-of-date medicine, being on resuscitation trays and in operating theatres. Fundamentally, is the key issue of all this that we need more staff?
I think that's probably a fair assessment. I think there's lots of things that you see. For example, the mandatory training issue. They said that not everyone's done all the training they need to do, and not all the medicines have been checked properly. That actually comes down to when there are patients on the ground, do you want your staff off in a training room or do you want your staff in the ward treating patients? And ultimately, staff will always prioritise patients. And so I think there's probably a lot of truth to say if we can help try and resolve the staffing problems, a lot of the other problems will almost resolve themselves as a result. But it's also fair to say that a lot of the stuff the CQC has identified is relatively fixable, actually. So you've identified a particular case there around an instance of out-of-date medicines on an operating tray. Well, actually, that can be addressed through making staff more aware of some of these things, through some improved training and through some more information to staff. So I think Manx Care are in a place where they know the things they can fix relatively easily and also the things that will take a longer time to fix. And that's the job of the department now, is to support Manx Care through identifying some of those and then supporting them through how do we fix some of these problems.
I think with Manx Care we have really common themes, and we've had the same interviews, you know, yourself and I as well, over the same issues over and over again. So we know that waiting lists, then we know they're being tackled, we know there's recruitment, we know it's been tackled. Ultimately, what's the message to patients on the Isle of Man though? Because obviously if they read these reports, the first thing everyone sees is the negative. So what's the message to a patient who might be thinking, I don't want to go up to the hospital?
I think the thing that the reports tell us is that the care that's being provided is actually pretty good. The staff are overwhelmingly, they are caring, they are compassionate, they want to do a good job. And I think it comes back to that message that even where there are problems that are identified, nothing has been identified by the CQC that has put up a massive red flag for us. We haven't had to pull any service. We haven't had to suddenly go in and say, you've got to stop doing that. Everything that's been identified is fixable. We think that, broadly speaking, everything's getting better as well. The feedback we get from staff, from patients, from even from the CQC themselves, is they can see this culture of improvement, that things are improving. And so for me, I think it gives us a lot of confidence that says, yes, we know we've got challenges, we know we have shortcomings, but they're not insurmountable problems.
There are a few elements in here that aren't necessarily even really Manx Care issues per se. Some of the stuff is government-based. So, for example, all but three GP surgeries buildings being owned by government. And then there's upkeep, maintenance and cleaning issues there. Again, is this an issue with staffing in government as well? Or do we need more money there? How do we solve these issues that actually it's linked to government, not Manx Care?
Some of it, I think, again, is around training and awareness. So some of the problems the CQC identified were around OHR and recruitment processes. So we're relying on our shared service for that. And by and large, they do a good job. But actually, we know there are challenges within government-wide OHR. We know government have commissioned a review into OHR, which hopefully will help resolve some of those issues that the CQC have identified. Some of it may be about staffing, it may be about resource. It's more likely going to be about process, going to be about training, going to be about making sure people are able to prioritise the things that are prioritised, and about communication, ultimately, between government departments and between Manx Care and the shared services that we rely on. So broadly speaking, I think government has a handle on these issues. So obviously, we'll be sharing any of the cross-government questions and queries with our colleagues and other government departments to see how are they going to tackle some of these problems and some of these challenges. But generally, I think it is fair to say that we're all on the same journey of improvement, and the CQC reports, for me at least, provide that confidence that says we know where we need to be, and we are all very committed to getting there.
A big thing as well, and they mention it in these reports, is that when any job on the Isle of Man's advertised, it has to be advertised here for 4 weeks first, for Manx people first. Do you think that's a prerequisite that we could look at dropping to try and tackle this recruitment issue? Because quite frankly, we all know we don't have the staff available on island.
So I know the DfE are currently consulting on their work permit process, and that will inevitably be the reason that you have to have local adverts first. I think Manx Care, and if you talk to the director of nursing down there, and I know you have done, he'll talk extensively about the idea of growing our own heroes. And actually, that's a really important part for us. We need to be recruiting off island to solve the immediate problem, because you can't just turn someone into a nurse. It takes time. But actually, in a perfect world, what we'd like to be doing is training our own. We'd like there to be a much more consistent throughput of local people who are training to be nurses and HCAs and paramedics and GPs and whatever else we need to make sure that we are continually training people and bringing them on from the island. So I think you're probably right. There are barriers that we've kind of thrown up ourselves to some of the international recruitment that we need right now. But in the longer term, when you look at the bigger picture, actually we need to be prioritising training locals as well to do the work that we need to do. Otherwise, we end up in a position where we're constantly reliant on bringing new people in, which isn't going to be sustainable forever.
I guess one last question as well. Previous reports really kind of went in quite hard on some departments, were quite negative, but we got some really positive ones here as well. Like Meds have quite an overwhelmingly glowing report, really. Is that quite heartening as ministers to see that some of these changes are happening?
Yeah, I think that is quite reassuring. So if you see, this is obviously the hospital report predominantly, and if you look at the last hospital report that was published, you can see things that have moved, actually, even in that short space of time, quite significantly. So it is reassuring, and I think, again, this is the core message that I'd like to get out to people, is even though these reports do identify some shortcomings, you can very clearly see a path to how things are going to get better, how things are getting better.
Paul Moore is Manx Care's Director of Nursing. He was heartened by the positives in the reports and says, with regards to the negatives, recruitment is the number one priority.
This is an incredibly positive outcome for Manx Care. And you know what? That's a tribute to the frontline staff who do all this incredible work for us in their total commitment to patient care. I'm very pleased that the CQC have been able to acknowledge that. But you're right, the theme that kind of links a lot of things in this paper is shortages of staff. And as you know, we've been working on this very, very hard over the last year or so and making some very good progress, particularly on registered nurses. So we've been working to do two things. Number one is to stabilise the gaps in rotas by using international recruitment. And that has the effect of reducing the amount of high-cost agency that we have to rely on. So that's a cheaper, more effective, much more stable way of plugging up the gaps in the workforce. And in addition to that, we are increasing the domestic production of trainees. In 2023, we're doubling the number of training places available. And we've doubled the bursary to try and make it much more attractive to people who might be interested in taking up this as a career. We can do that for the adult and the mental health branches. Now, that won't benefit us until 2026, but when that comes in, that will help to produce a pipeline that will allow us to manage the numbers of people that turn over from retirements, for example. So we're putting ourselves on the front foot and trying to get ahead of the curve on staffing. We do still have some big challenges, though, particularly in social care and allied health professionals and in medical care, that we continue to work on trying to put substantive appointments in place.
Do you think that a lot of these issues will get resolved if we get on top of this issue?
Yes, a lot of the issues in the CQC report are treatable and don't require a lot of resource. But when you're short of staff, things like the cupboards where the drugs are kept are not always checked because people are busy looking after patients who are poorly. But as the numbers of staff stabilise and become a bit more normal, it allows us to tackle some of that, as well as helping them by managing the supply chain so you don't have too many products in the clinical area that might expire, for example. So that the burden of that checking routine is minimised as much as possible because, you know, we've got these staff now and we want them to look after the patients, not spend all their time walking around with a clipboard.
One thing about when you apply for a job on the Isle of Man, the first 4 weeks that job has to be advertised here on the island and then it can go internationally. Is that something you'd like to see changed? Because it's pretty well documented that we don't have enough people in nursing on the island. So if we went straight out to international, would that help this problem?
I think in some situations it would, especially where you're looking for an advanced practitioner or a very specialist role. And we all know we don't have those skills on the Isle of Man. It just seems we're wasting 4 weeks when it's a fiercely competitive market. We need to be in that market and fighting our corner. Just hanging around for 4 weeks seems a bit silly. However, there will be some roles where we do have the expertise on the island. And I understand and respect and recognise that we'd want to give everyone the fair crack at the whip. And so there are some roles where, advertising on island first is entirely right and appropriate. And there are some where you clearly know that's not going to work. And, you know, don't wait, get out there and advertise.
Another thing that was flagged in the reports is to do with checking qualifications, which, again, isn't necessarily Manx Care, it's outside in government. Is that something that you want to see tackled straight away?
Yeah, I think that's a bigger question about how a shared service model works for a provider like Manx Care. And we find that is a challenge, and I would like to see that improved because I do think employment screening, recruitment, there is a one-size-fits-all approach, but as you can see from the CQC reports, the CQC are not inspecting the whole. They're inspecting the bit that's relevant for healthcare, and they found that is not as good as it could be. And so I'd like to see a bit more of a tailored, bespoke approach for Manx Care that delivers what's required around employment screening and recruitment.
There's obviously emphasis, particularly in your job, of trying to bring in new nurses. But a critique in the report was that there's not really any forward planning for the board and future-proofing that. Do you think maybe that's something that's kind of slipped through the net and we need to look at?
I think it's understandable because we've been fighting the fire immediately after COVID and with the gaps that we've got. We have to deal with the immediacy of the problem that's in front of us. But I can say that as a member of the board and on behalf of the board, I know that they have an eye on the future and they're actively thinking about the workforce plans that need to be in place beyond 2026 so that we put ourselves in a position of resilience rather than having to be reactive. But it's not easy and those plans are challenging because they need to be costed, they need to be funded, we need to be able to recruit to them, we need to be able to look at how we produce those people. And in some cases, that's straightforward. In other cases, we can't produce them on island, so we have to find alternative ways of doing it. But I think we've got a proactive board that's standing in the future and anticipating that risk going forward. And I think that will be something that will benefit the organisation in the future.
In terms of staff we do have on island, what's going to be done now to tackle things like these training gaps and other things that were flagged?
Again, it's an understandable observation because, you know, let's say, for example, you have two nurses on duty when you should have eight. I'm going to make sure that they're looking after the patients because the patients are still going to come into the organisation. And so I think it's regrettable but unavoidable that I have to let training kind of take a back seat when we're working in that kind of environment so that I can make sure it's the patient care that is the priority. Well, as the staffing levels improve, we have something built into the workforce model that allows time for training, mandatory training and role-specific training. And so when the rotas are properly established, I would expect we'll be able to accommodate the training needs so that we can ensure that that's dealt with. But it is kind of dependent on having, you know, a full complement of staff.
One thing that I spoke to the Minister about is the previous reports that we've looked at from the CQC. You can already kind of see some improvements in these reports, like stuff to do with medicine handling that's been implemented straight away. Some of these reports as well for specific departments are a lot more positive than previous ones have been. For example, meds. Is that quite heartening to see from you who's overseeing this staff?
Well, you see, I've always known that we've got some good services and some excellent examples of clinical practice. And I'm very pleased that the CQC have been able to identify it. I've always known they've been there. Sometimes the CQC can take a... Because of what they have to do, they sometimes emphasise the things that are not great. But I've known right throughout Manx Care, we've got some excellent examples, what I call pockets of outstanding practice. Meds is one of them. The skin service in Ramsey is another. And there are many others. I could talk to you for a long time on that. And so I think what the CQC, as they've gone through their programme, what they're beginning to see that there are pockets of great care. We have got some challenges, of course we have, and we're ready to take them on. But there are some excellent examples of clinical practice.
As you would expect, there's a lot more to this story. You can find the reports in full at manxradio.com.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Little Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.